care have to, you have to execute, and why this is fun, because you're engaging with the guest, that you're getting, it's an experience they've come there for. It's not that they just come to ride a go-kart, play miniature golf, play arcade, eat some food. Yeah, that's something that they do. But how do they remember that? Why are they going back and say, that was a cool place?
Welcome to the Attraction Pros Podcast, where we discuss the latest trends and challenges facing the attractions industry today.
We chat with some of the top leaders in the field and provide resources that will help develop your career in this great industry.
I am Josh Liebman. I am obsessed with the guest experience and helping attractions make that their top priority for success.
And I'm Matt Heller. I am passionate about organizational effectiveness, leadership development, and employee engagement.
Now sit upright, hold on tight, and get ready for the Attraction Pros Podcast. Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Boom! It's going great.
What was that for?
Well, today we're talking to
things up
a little bit. It's 2021, and we're talking to Tim Murphy from Boomers.
Oh, there you go. Boom.
Boom. Other than that, I am fantastic.
Good, good. You're channeling like Tim Murphy and like Emeril, what's the Emeril Lagasse or whatever?
Yeah, right. That was Bam.
Bam with Boomers and combines into Boom, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
We have an amazing interview lined up today. Like you mentioned, Tim Murphy is the CEO of Boomers Parks. You've probably heard of those parks. You've probably driven by, you've probably been to one or two of them. And oh man, they have a lot going on right now and a lot moving forward towards the future. And this conversation with Tim, we cover so many topics in great detail with it. And I just gotta say, he is an incredibly smart guy, an incredibly smart businessman, CEO. This is like one of those get your pen and notepad ready for this interview, because there are a lot of takeaways from it.
And what I think is cool is not only how smart he is, because he is pretty darn smart, but how he just looks at things from such a practical standpoint. You know, at one point he says, I've been in every spot that a guest can be in. And how smart is that? Just to put yourself in the shoes of the guests, no matter where they are, restroom, you know, the arcade, the rides, wherever it happens to be. So really a lot of great takeaways from this. So I can't wait to dive in.
Yeah, absolutely. So Boomers, being a large chain of family entertainment centers, they currently have 8 properties. But I will say, wherever you are in the industry, this interview will be so applicable. If you are in the amusement, theme park space, zoos, museums, aquariums, for-profit, nonprofit, whatever it is, you're going to learn a lot from this. So I'd say without any further intro, let's get to this interview with Tim Murphy.
Boom. Murs. Tim Murphy, CEO of Boomers Parks. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Attraction Pros Podcast. Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Matt. I appreciate you having me on. So.
Absolutely. We are super excited to dive into a lot of different topics. But first of all, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became CEO of Boomers?
Sure. A good better part of 30, 35 years in the entertainment industry. I always like to say for everyone, I kind of started in it at the age of 8 with my parents with a small miniature golf arcade in a restaurant in New Jersey. Moved down to Florida, went to start working at Disney for about 6.5 years, and better part of a 30-year career in a lot of restaurants and entertainment. End up taking over a CEO role for Rebounders, end up selling that company, worked on the board for down in South America for the Carlyle Group, still on the board. And the Cerberus Group reached out to me, great private equity firm out of New York, said, hey, we've got some parks where we look like we're about to take over. Would you come take a look at it, consult for us for a little bit? And by the way, would you run it for us? So hence, here I am.
Okay, fantastic. So what was it like stepping into the role of CEO after kind of looking at it, consulting, and then now you're running it? So what was that like?
I think it was more of, wow, I get to utilize a lot of my ideas from the restaurant side, heavily influenced on the restaurant side. What can we do for parks? I've done a lot of stuff with, you know, mystery shops and so forth coming to my park, not only my parks, but my restaurants that I had. So, you know, what's the focus of the guest that's coming out there? And truly gave me an opportunity to, you know, just see where's the focus of this business. Now, the previous focus of the previous business that ended up going bankrupt was focused on 2 to 10 year olds. But when you walk through the parks, you knew that there were more like 80-85% was, you know, teens, tweens, young adults, and corporations. So it's like, okay, I think we need to shift the focus. And what do those people like? What are the types of attractions that they like? You know, more thrill, not kiddie rides. Food and beverage, alcohol. Those are the things that we, you know, I really looked at. So I looked at it from the stepping into it going, all right, well, we've got an opportunity here to really take something. As I told Cerberus when I looked at him during the consulting stage was, you got a diamond in the rough. You just focused in the wrong direction. What did we do initially? The previous company had other theme parks with them besides the water parks and the FECs that we've got. Now we just have FECs, water parks, and we're going to turn one of them, the LA Speed Zone, into an amusement park with a bunch of rides that we took out of the closed parks. So I said, all right, let's refocus, let's reshift, let's go after a different demographic, and by the way, let's mature the brand. That's everything from the colors, the blue and red, utilizing some neutrals, the whites and grays and blacks, learning how from rebounders just to tone things down, not so aggressive, bright for the kids. Because why? Because a lot of corporations would not bring their HR departments or the CEO there if they were going to have a group event because it was just too kidsy. So how do we really start refocusing? So we're in the process of having a lot of fun, changing a lot of things, adding a lot of attractions, bringing in food and beverage. So when I came on board to answer the question, I just said, okay, this is like a clean slate. What can we do with it? And at the end of the day, even with COVID, the ups and downs of COVID, we were able to, you know, increase check average $2 to $15 per person. And we've got a lot more opportunities, a lot more things we're thinking of doing, but now we're just getting refocused and reopening. So,
Tim, I'm curious about that refocus process. When you talk about, you know, shifting the demographic, it's almost like building an entirely new guest that you're marketing to. So when you're talking about going from 2 to 10 to the older, more mature demographic, talking about the branding, talking about bringing in attractions, this doesn't sound like you can come in the next day and be a completely different product to new people. I've got to imagine that this is a long process. Can you talk about kind of getting from point A to point B while at the same time not wanting to alienate both demographics at the same time during that meantime?
Sure. No. And so with what we had to deal with as a, you know, we shifted from a season pass holder, which this company has gotten to a point where it was more of a, more like a Walmart customer to, and I'm trying to shift it to a Target customer. Someone who's a little more educated, someone's going to stay a little bit longer, spend a little bit more. They're not after discounts as much. There's still opportunities to discount, of course. So it's a blend. How do we shift from season passes? Almost day one, we got off of season passes. I honored the season passes that were there from the previous company. And we actually extended it for those folks because of COVID to March 31st, 2021. But we're not selling them anymore. We're focused on that day. And part of it is season passes are great. But when you look at history, and you looked at least when I looked at the numbers of this company, it became like a bit of a Ponzi scheme. So you were taking revenue in hopes that you can continue to pay, but you can't pay tomorrow. But I'm still trying to sell tomorrow to get that next day. And it became an issue where you cannot pay. So let's start rethinking this. Let's relook at this. How do we create some different combinations? How do we still make value to blend over from the previous customer to the newer customer while we're upgrading a lot of the parks? So it's a demographic shift. But the thing is, we already had 80, 85% of the people coming through the park. We needed to maybe move a few of those customers in the right direction. But it's interesting, when we took price increases, we did food changes, we had very little pushback. Now, maybe because of COVID, it may be lots of different reasons that's culminating. But what it did is it started to pull folks from farther away to us. Now, I'm not saying it's not all because of us and what we did. It's part of COVID coming in, but it was the perfect timing to make those pricing changes, to move in the right direction so that we can start pulling them in. Most of our demographics were pulling 15 to 20 miles away from us, maybe 30-minute drive. We're now getting people 20% or so coming from over 100 miles to come see us now. So part of that's COVID, part of it's people wanting to get out, wanting to see something different. Theme parks are closed, cruises are closed, you know, things of that nature. But I think we've now got to a point because of that, we now have converted some of those folks to start coming our direction. But in, you know, during this process to the demographics, let's start making it pleasing to them. Let's start cleaning up the place. Yeah, we're very clean. We did 6 safety videos, which will be coming out in press releases. just to say how we do take care of the guests. I mean, that's number one. Safety is number one for our entire parks. Our guests, we want them to be safe, but we want them to have fun. And I think the idea is, how do we have them have fun for a longer period? Yeah, season passes, the idea was they would come and be there for longer periods, but you know what? They ate somewhere else. They didn't stay too long. They didn't spend as much. They were doing things with Groupon and other service coupon providers. And it's like, no, let's get off that. Let's start getting to a focus. Let's have some fun areas that can hang out. We created a Boomer's Backyard in four of our California parks, place to hang out, watch games, eat, drink, have heaters there, nice lounges. What can we do to have it nice inside that way? What can we do to upgrade some of what we're doing in the parks, let alone the attractions we're about to bring in, about 40 plus attractions at several of our locations in California and possibly Destin as well, from the parks that were closed from the previous company that we took the attractions from. So we'll put those things in, but if we're trying to really shift that thought process, what are all the things that the guest wants to do? And I've literally sat everywhere that a guest can sit and stand everywhere a guest can stand in the park and say, what do they see? What do they feel? You know, what is it they're getting across? Are we explaining what we do the best? And there's a lot of things that fall short from the previous company. So we're in the process of making some changes, signage to maybe food scents. There's some things that we're doing that we'll take from the better part of the theme park industry and bring in some of the best stuff into our parks. I hope that answered, part of your question there.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was really cool to kind of get inside your brain a little bit there to think about that. And you're talking about a lot of shifts, which is really cool to hear about. One of the ones that I'm curious about was your internal staff, right? Because you're coming in, you're changing your demographic of who you're serving, you're changing how the parks look and that type of thing. So can you talk a little bit about the transformation, if there was one, of the culture, like internal culture?
Sure. And some of it, there were some needed changes from cost point of view. You just can't continue to incur the cost of what something a 16 park size park would have to down to 8. So you got to shift what your corporate overhead is going to be. So some of that was needed change because the cost was so high. But really, it was a focus of opening up. I heard that the previous company may have been a little repressed in the fact that I'm very open, very transparent. I have 10 core values, and number one on the list is honesty, integrity, and transparency. So I want everyone to know what we're doing, why we're doing it. And I love to hear the input. Sometimes, you might modify what you're physically going after, what's your plan, how can I shift? But there was very entrenched, this is the way we've always done it. When I first got on board, I don't know how many history lessons I've heard, and I said, enough's enough. We need to move forward with what we're going to do. Yes, that may have taken place when a previous private equity firm had owned at Palace, and then it became Apex Parks Group. But we're APX operating company doing business as Boomer's Parks. And we're here to make a change and go after a different direction. So it took some time, took some changes. But I think it's getting really well received and ingrained now with the park managers. We used to call them GMs. Now we call them park managers, assistant park managers. That's really what they are, whether they're an FEC or they're a water park, or if we go down the path and really expand our LA Speed Zone and turn it into amusement park, which is our goal this year. So, it definitely took some changes, new thought process. And I think it was refreshing to a lot of folks, at least more in the middle to senior level, to see that I was willing to make change. I was willing to be open to listen. Yeah, there is a point when there's open to listen and there's a time to move forward, and we definitely move forward on different areas. So really excited about my team. I can't say much more about my team, how great I think they all are now to this day. I knew there was some tweaking that we needed to do. I had limited access with folks to begin with because of the consulting side, and it was a stalking horse bid from one private equity firm to the next. But the focus really is on how do we become the leader in what we're doing? How do we do different things than what other FECs don't do? And that's from food and beverage, attractions, how we price, consistency from park to park. That was one thing that was really wrong with the previous company. They ran them as 16 separate locations. Now we're 8. And now we don't run them as 8 separate locations. We are bringing them together as one. And part of that is I'm here to create brand. How do I create the brand to go forward? So if we acquire another park, yes, maybe there'll be a Boomers if it's an FEC. But if it's a one-off iconic type of company, then it'll be like we have Sahara Sams, New Jersey, Sahara Sams, a Boomers park. So we want consistency. And I take this back to Disney days. If you were at Magic Kingdom or Epcot, you got the same experience, but you also got the same experience at Disneyland and California Adventure. So that is what we want to be able to try to create. Are we completely 100% there? No, but we're working on that and we're going to get through that.
Yeah. Tim, I have kind of a follow-up, I guess, as you're talking about different attractions and, you know, you mentioned the term FEC, Family Entertainment Center. Are the lines blurring between Family Entertainment Center and amusement park? You know, because there's so many that are adding attractions and you'd almost walk in and think, well, this is kind of a, this is like a more like a park than, you know, what you would traditionally think a Family Entertainment Center would be. So is that part of your, even your thought process to blur that line?
Well, and to that point, yeah, Matt, to that point, it's really part of the reason why we changed the level and call them a park manager, because we are blending some of these things together. Even in the water park and Dest, and we're looking to add more FEC related stuff. We have 3 miniature golf courses, a cyclone, and putting a rock wall down there. We're doing some different things to keep people there. Why? More revenue, of course. But at the end of the day, yes, we are trying to really blend them together, that it's one Family Entertainment Center. We can call it lots of different things, amusement park, Family Entertainment Center, you know, whatever, boardwalk. There's so many different things we could call these things. But at the end of the day, it's a place to go, right? And it's still going to be probably that 15 to 20 minute radius of their homes, even though because of the pandemic, we've been able to go far as 100 miles away coming to us. And we're attracting much more folks, but we intend to have a bit of more of that outer reach. You know, part of the changes we're making in food and beverage, part of the changes we're doing in attractions, looking at some new, more adult-like things. And, you know, we're trying to be a bit more like, how do you take a bit of the Dave and Buster's in the main event and add more to it? I call it, we're Dave and Buster's on steroids, or main event on steroids. I've said this to some of the former folks that work for those locations too. And, you know, that's, I think our reach is there. But I don't think we'll ever become a big amusement park. You know, I know a lot of folks in amusement parks, Knox, you know, Disney and so forth. I don't think we're going to be that, but we're going to be something in the middle.
Yeah.
They're going to come to that's local, and you'll spend for the ability at a much less cost. Now, I don't like to leave money on the table, so we're going to be aggressive with pricing, but we're also going to be aggressive with experience. So if I provide you the things you're going to be there for, hopefully you'll stay, you'll spend more. Obviously, at the end of the day, check average goes up. So,
Tim, can you tell us how the pandemic was able to expand your reach from a 15-mile radius to a 100-mile radius? Can you walk us through kind of what went into that?
Sure. I think getting the message out there that we are a safe facility. You know, let me just take a step back and answer that question in a different way as well. Talk to a lot of folks in the industry. What are you guys doing? What's the best practices? That's from theme parks to FECs and so forth. And I said, we'll be the best of what we can put out there. We want to be the leader in what we're doing. Yes, there's safety standards, there's masks, there's temperature checks. You know, there's the, you know, you're getting hand sanitizers, you got the 6-foot markers. But what else can we do? What can we do to let the guests know that we're better than the other folks that are out there? You know, we are physically cleaning all of the units. I've been in Southern California with being one of the epicenters of this pandemic and watching what's taking place. I've gone to a lot of stores and they don't even really clean the carts and, you know, all the things that you're supposed to, they don't have the markers on the ground. It blows my mind that we have this push, but as I said to our park managers, our focus will be to always be better than everyone else. What else can we do? We're going to keep retraining our staff. We're going to keep doing these things. We're going to keep adding more safety into this, the cleanliness of keeping a checklist and what we're doing, having team meetings before we physically, you know, go out on the floor. It's kind of like a restaurant, if you will. What's going to happen this shift? And, you know, letting everyone know this is what we're doing. And this is what's, you know, getting ingrained in the park managers, because I know others are not doing that. I want to be the place that folks, if we're going after a more elevated individual that's going to come to us, a bit of a target, educated individual, target shopper, they have certain thought processes. When I was with the restaurant industry, one of those thought processes is clean bathrooms. So one of the things that we've done is we've remodeled our bathrooms, or we're in the process of remodeling all of our bathrooms. Have you feel that, you know, if that's clean and that's what the guest looks at, it's usually moms that do that, and that's what we found in the restaurant industry, that if they're happy and they see that that bathroom's clean, then they also believe and should believe that your kitchen's clean, that the back of the house is clean, that you're taking care of the equipment. So, you know, looking at it, we tried to say, what can we do to be above and beyond? You know, what can we do to kind of lead in this area? I will say that I feel we are a leader in what we're physically doing. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. But we are going to keep striving for excellence every day to show that we are a clean, safe place for people to come to. And by the way, they'll have fun too. So that's kind of the goal. You know, if you feel good, you're going to stay longer. If you feel good, you're going to spend some more. And I know a lot of folks don't get that. And I think maybe that's the element I take from the restaurant industry that I'm, you know, bringing into this, besides the upgrades of foods and alcohol and things like that. But it's how do you keep this clean? And that is part to going back to, you know, the previous question is the culture shift in the company. You know, getting folks on board to really understand that this is a culture shift. If you do these things, it's not you build it and they will come. If you do these things, they will keep coming back over and over again. But folks just don't do it. And it's okay. I'm fine because I want to grab their market share if they're not going to do it. So that's, you know, that's kind of my stance on, you know, what is some of that shift that we've done. And I'm happy to do it because, you know, I think we'll be a leader in that at the end of the day.
Definitely. Tim, earlier you mentioned some values that you had, and I think it was honesty, integrity, and transparency was your first one.
Right.
Can you walk us through some of your other values that help kind of?
I'll give you a few, you know, and so what are we in this business for? To be innovative, to take calculated risks, not just take risks, but take calculated risks. You know, what are some of the things that we can add into the facility? That was just actually on my team meeting this past week. You know, what will we do? And what does that mean to take calculated risks? We're going to bring in different things. You know, you don't have to bring in $20 million attractions to make money in this business. You can keep your place clean. You can paint the place when necessary. You can fix things up. You can do some of the deferred maintenance. Some of these little things are noticed by the guests all the time. We're going to display that. It's something we've never done before. You know, we're going to put this out in social media, like what we're doing down in Destin, really fixing up the park. Now, we may add a few things. We're going to have a, you know, we'll call it a rooftop bar. It's on top of the hill overlooking the Gulf. And it was there for 10 years, but they've never used it. It's like, well, it's here. Let's do this. You know, let's fix this. And, but, you know, we need to, you know, show the guests that we don't have to spend for all these attractions, but that we're taking care of these parks. You know, I had experience with listening to internally with the company, and I shared just a moment ago with regards to the bathrooms that were, you know, fixing up the bathrooms. But the previous predecessor, I've heard this in the industry, that bathrooms don't make us money. I differ. I totally differ, you know, on that opinion. Bathrooms do make you money. Cleanliness makes you money. Making it look clean. You know, perception's reality. If they think you're dirty, you're dirty. You know, if they think you're really clean, you're definitely clean. So it's a matter of getting in front of the ball and saying, hey, this is what we're going to do to make sure that these parks are taken care of. Hence, that was one of my primary things when I was talking to Cerberus. We will remodel the bathrooms when we get started. And hence, we've done quite a few. But the bottom line is getting out there, telling the guests, showing the guests, and sometimes that's the difference. And back to the impression of, well, the bathrooms don't make you money. No, they do. But every other place does. If you fix up some of the stuff in the kitchen area, if you just make it look nice around the attraction, you know, instead of just throwing it out there, and folks do that. They just throw it out and say, you know, build it, they will come. No, that's not true. And they'll come if you're going after the discount person. Mm-hmm. I'm not after the discount person. I want someone to sit there and spend. I want the check average to go up. My four walls can make all the money I need to, and hence with a FEC or going outside, but my four walls inside my, you know, my fence is where my money is to be made. Can I then also send product home with them? Could I, you know, we're starting in Boca Raton, some food delivery. I have eight, at the time when COVID hit, I had eight empty kitchens. So, you know, what can I physically do with this? Now that's not something you're gonna do immediately, but it's gonna take some time to build that. And once you build that, hey, that might be another 5-10% revenue stream as we move forward. Do we have it perfected? No, because we're coming from an entertainment business versus a physical restaurant business. So we're actually entering two businesses. You know, we're doing the entertainment side and we're doing the food side. But the food side will complement the business in extending the brand. And you want, we can do some fun stuff with it. We can throw little tchotchkes in there, things you would do at Redemption, you know, have some bounce backs to have them come back when they get a food delivery from us. There's a lot of fun things you can do with this, and it doesn't cost you that much more. So why not use an empty kitchen? Yeah, it'll cost a little bit to get it going and labor, and you're going to burn some, you know, food in the process. But what if you really create a revenue stream out of it? Then to me, you have the process to really, you know, build, you know, an extension of your brand. A lot of FECs are just there. You go there and you don't do anything else with it. Maybe you do social media, maybe you do newsletters. Of course, we do those things. But, you know, how do we take that brand outside the four walls? And Could that create new retail opportunities? Could it sell more tickets? You know, those are the things I don't think other folks think of. And that is kind of the thought process and the generation behind it. I probably went all over a long roundabout way of trying to answer your question, but you know, it's kind of my mentality and thinking of, you know, what's the direction to keep it moving. So.
No, that was awesome and really cool to be able to hear that philosophy of that. And I kind of want to go back to what you were saying of, you know, the restrooms don't make you money, but you know, how they actually do. And I think that, I don't know, the ROI of cleanliness is probably a conversation that maybe isn't discussed enough. So maybe if we can actually tie that in with what you've been doing with the videos that you've been putting out there in terms of communicating cleanliness standards, because I think it's one thing to be clean. That's step one. You have to be. It's one thing to tell your guests that you're clean. And then it's even more important to be showing your guests and really bringing them into it so they then get that feeling of security and that comfort and really restoring their confidence to want to be able to not only visit, but maybe drive 100 miles to go visit one of your parks. So can you talk a little bit about how that has been a lot of part of your communication strategy with your audience?
Yeah, and I think that comes back to the original culture question, you know, with regards to what is entrenched in the culture. Culture's been there. A lot of people have been in position, some 20 years in the position. They've only known one way of doing something. So, you know, really getting that ingrained to our team, you know, and physically or what we're doing to understand why it needs to be clean. Yeah, I'll do lead by example. As I've said to each of my team members, you know, I'll walk across the parking lot going into the facility. I'll bend over and pick up the trash I'm finding there. Do we do that? You know, it's a mentality shift with our operations. It's getting the right people doing the right things. You know, in the past, I think operations was more of a function of, you know, point A to point B. How do I get this done to that done? And I don't worry about it. But trying to get our team to think about multiple things that impact this. When you cross that parking lot, you don't pick up the trash. What is it saying? You don't care. If we do care, the guests see that we care. Getting a little more involved with the guests. Now, there's more things to come once you get the place fixed, you get the pricing done, you get the food in, you get the attractions. It's taking that to the next step and really getting the team to understand how you have to care, how you have to execute, and why this is fun, because you're engaging with the guests. That you're getting, it's an experience they've come there for. It's not that they just come to ride a go-kart, play miniature golf, play arcade, eat some food. Yeah, that's something that they do. But how do they remember that? Why are they going back and say, that was a cool place? So getting to the point of, you know, how do we really implement and do some of these things? It's every level that we can think of to get to the guest, whether it's through the safety videos of what we're doing, whether we physically are showing it consistently from park to park, whether it's our team managers knowing what's physically going on and why they need to do this. That's why I have team calls twice a month with my team to, we'll talk about different, you know, values within our company and the things that we're physically doing. So it's not just one thing that you can pinpoint to and say, ah, that's a secret, you know, that's a secret sauce, I can take that. No, all of this is a secret sauce. And I know not everyone's going to do it. If anyone that's going to listen to this podcast are not going to do a lot of the things that we're doing, because it's work, it's effort, it's a change. People don't always like change. Now, change is good. Change is good because it can actually make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm in this business. But the bottom line is, you know, we're all in this business for that. But the bottom line is, how do we execute that? How do we get that out to the guests? Whether it's through social media, the newsletters, the videos that we're doing, actions that we take at the gate. Those are the things that, you know, and getting the team, the right team on board, doing the right things. I will say, in the beginning, took some change and some arm twisting to get them to really kind of understand. I got a lot of pushback, of course, but I just kept going forward. I don't shy away easily. And so I think my consistent approach, getting the right managers in place to consistently do it, gives that experience that we're looking for. I don't know if that answered your question completely, but that was the kind of the direction from the beginning. So
cool. You know, Tim, both Josh and I started in operations at different parks, and there was sometimes an adversarial relationship between operations and marketing. But what I'm hearing you say is it's sort of a blending, right? It's getting the operations folks to see what they are doing is actually marketing as well, right? Because that's what's, you know, when they're picking up trash or they're cleaning the go-karts, that's marketing your facility to someone.
Correct. It's expectations, right? It's funny. I go back and I've told him, you know, it's, I go back to my Boy Scout days. I was an Eagle Scout and Boy Scouts. And, you know, there's an edge method. Basically you're showing them and you're enabling them to do what they need to do. So, you know, we'll go over the edge method, but the bottom line is getting them to get focused on that and understanding that it's, everything's in their control. And you know, this is totally night and day compared to the previous company. The previous company was very, you know, I hate to use the word dictatorship, but that was the way it was, where, yeah, I have a vision, but everyone's got to buy in that vision. And I believe that they have, and they've got to own it. And that's part of, you know, the core values. That's why I'm transparent with this. You know, some of the other things we have in core values is, you know, social responsibility, even though we haven't pushed out as hard, well, haven't been open. So that's part of the problem right there. But how do we tie that together? And how do we tie it together with our group sales? You know, group sales is a fundamental push. I mean, if I took a look at the business, what are we trying to accomplish? As I said, we're trying to move tweens, teens, young adults, and corporations. Well, who are those people? How do we attract them? If we're going after corporations, do we know all the corporations that are around us? Or, you know, the groups that are around us or the hotels that are around us? Have we really gotten involved? And it's funny, there's no list anywhere that anyone's got together. And it's funny because I see that in a lot of other FECs. What have you done to try to do these things? And you haven't gone out and talked to your local folks to let them know what we're doing. Oh, and by the way, yeah, we have parties and we have group events and, you know, we have all this great stuff that you can do and great food. But the bottom line is, I take it from a piece of my past. I worked for 23 Jimmy John's in Chicago at one point for another private equity firm, and they had a great source. I mean, if you've ever had Jimmy John's dropped off at you at any office, you know they drop off a little sandwich. Well, they let people know what they do. We don't necessarily know, let people, we didn't let people know what we do. We're in the process of re-educating what we do. I'm surprised we had allowed a high school DACA group, two individuals put together a high school report on us in Livermore, California. And they did a random sample of 100 people. Only 38% knew of boomers in the era. Interesting. You know, we've been there for many, many years. How do people not know us? You know, the one right here in Irvine, we're off the 405. You can't miss us. But what you see is a small sign that you've seen, you've gone past many, many times, and you kind of forget about it. Why don't we have banners out there? And, you know, we're about to reopen here because of the restrictions being released in California. I want banners out there now open, you know, that just letting people in the parking lot now open, come in and see us, big things that you can see. And it just simple little things like that, that you, because people have worked it for 10, 20 years, they don't think about it. And I look, we have great people. Don't get me wrong. We have great people, but it's just reminding them of some of the simple stuff of what the guest sees. If I'm a guest and I'm going to go there, what I want to know, you're open and what do you do? You know, and we don't do all those things. So those are some of the things that are barriers that we will continue to break through. And I think we got the right things in place, the right motions, the right people to make that happen. You know, I can't say more, but I got a great, great team. Couldn't do it without them, but we've made some major changes. And what do I benchmark it on? What does private equity benchmark it on? Well, what have you done? If you're open, you know, can you get to what you were the previous year? Well, COVID has not been allowing anyone to do that, but I can look at things. I can see attendance moving. I can see some things coming back to normal. Down in Boca Raton, we had a great day, over 1,000 people on a Saturday just a week ago. So, you know, something's happening. Check average is staying up. And you know what? Check average is staying up without season passes. So that means I'm paying today. It's the matching principle in accounting. I match revenues with expenses in the proper period. So, you know, this is a good thing. And I think we're seeing some good movement. So to me, you know, this gives me a great opportunity to say, you know, is there anyone up for sale that we're going to look at? You know, that's kind of the, you know, where we're heading. And we're kicking some tires. Doesn't mean we're going to buy them all, but I think there's some great opportunities to bring it into the brand of Boomers and really, you know, excite people to say, you know, that's kind of unique. We can be better, I think, than a Dave and Buster's, where they focused a lot on malls. You know, in my area where I'm on the board of directors down in South America, everything is in malls down there, which is different than the United States. So, you know, you've got opportunities where malls are a bit dying in the United States. I'm a commercial real estate broker in the state of Florida, so I know that for sure, and everyone sees that. But it's how do I then take a great space and have a great destination to come to, and I have to have something that's going to keep them to stay there. Maybe we turn into a bit of a restaurant in some of this with our Boomers backyards or chill zones we're creating on the inside. You know, we're upgrading kitchens, we're doing food delivery. Maybe I've got an opportunity there as we progress through this but at least we're keep putting in front of the guest what they want. And I think that's what the difference is. You, again, back to, you don't have to put in a $1 million ride. You know, you don't have to put in a $3 million roller coaster. Well, that's what I'm doing in LA Speed Zone, you know, from the parks we've closed. But, you know, the bottom line is it's what does the guest want? And are we focused on it? And I just think there's so many in the industry don't see that. So to me, that creates opportunity.
Awesome. Really interesting. You mentioned briefly in there kind of your strategy going forward and looking more towards incorporating more of a restaurant type product and combining that with your long history in the restaurant industry. So curious as far as how F&B is taking more of a prominent role within Boomers Parks and kind of where you see that going and where you want that to go.
Oh yeah, that's a focus. Well, why? You know, there's profitability in that, right? There's a higher check average in that. They're going to stay longer. If they stay longer, and let's say they're not the riders of the go-karts or playing miniature golf or the attractions, that's fine. They're going to then give the money to the kids or the teenagers or what have you, and they're going to keep playing. Or they're going to bring their group event back there. Or, you know, or. But food has a great opportunity to rise a check average. And I think what really sold it for me was knowing a Dave and Buster's, I won't name who, but in 2018, they did like 2,100 corporate events and they did 22 million sales and 58,000 square feet. So, all right. So I've got 5 to 20 acres and actually my water park, 40 acres. I could do so much with this and I'm not even quite close to that. So I'm just hitting the tip of the, you know, the bottom part of the iceberg below the water. You know, how do I get above there? I think there's so many opportunities, and I think food and beverage is a key. Upgrading the food allows you to do a lot more fun things and parties, allows you to do more things in group events, allows you to have date night out at our place. You can do combination packages. You know, I just got the dollar amounts up. You know, frankly, most of the people are coming to the normal traditional FEC. It's carnival food. It's junk. Upgrading with sliders and flatbreads and salads and nachos and our pizzas and still burgers and hot dogs. It does expand the menu and it does also make you refocus on profitability. So what do I want to put out there? If I'm going to have a burger, can I upgrade the burger? You know, can I have a hot dog? It's an upgraded hot dog. Can I create different combination platters, which we've done? You know, it's not just the typical fries thrown in there. I mean, we have other, you know, appetizers, the dill pickle chips and some, you know, different things in the macaroni and cheese bites and different things like that, that can become part of a different platform. But that now allows us to expand. Well, what's the next step with that? Well, to me, we've always had beer and wine and people do buy the beer and wine heavily at some of our locations. But I also know we're near college towns and some of them like in Boca Raton and even Irvine here as well. There's definitely some opportunities that I can do.
So Tim, I'm curious, you mentioned South America and I got to go to South America a number of years ago with IAPA. Can you talk just a little bit about operating a park down there versus in North America for people who might not be familiar with the difference in culture?
Sure. And obviously between the three countries, a little different, Colombia, Peru, and Chile, predominantly in Peru. Next one would then be Colombia. Little different in the fact that most things are in malls down there. Now they are starting to get in a little bit more resorts, which are adding some more food and beverage and some different attractions to it. But for the most part, it's in malls. I mean, it's in malls in the middle of, and I hate to use the word slums, just really low end areas, really bad housing, but everyone from high end to low end comes to the mall, and that's the community activity area. Now, if you were to go back 20, 25 years, there wouldn't have been malls. There was a lot of terrorists in the area, bombs going off in public facilities. So this is really new. It's kind of like following us years later in the United States and what they're doing down there. But that's where the main areas are. I see part of it is in a lot of the cities. I see very little space to put up FEC amusement parks or what have you, because there's just not space to put them in. A lot of our amusement parks are on top of the malls. So, you know, we have the Ferris wheel and coaster and different things at the top of the mall. So, but that's where it goes. And some of those malls are just like football stadiums in the United States where they'll open up the whole roof to allow the sun in. Very unique and different in that aspect, but you don't see much going outside the mall. Part of it might be, you know, not great areas or just don't have land space to do it. So you're going to malls. Now there, that's where the malls are king. They've really taken a major hit because of what's taken place in the United States. I mean, not sorry, in South America with COVID. But the bottom line is, you know, it's a different aspect, and you really have to have good relationship with mall owners down there. If you get good with them, because they're still building a lot of malls, then now you've got the better premium space to go to. Where the United States, you know, the difference in comparison, a lot more has gone out. Our malls are closing down. They're trying to convert old, you know, JCPenney's and Macy's to something else, office space, medical space, what have you. And some, like, say, Dave & Buster's have found that was a direction you want to go. But really, frankly, retail is going to keep going down because we're doing so much online. They're experiencing some of that in South America. I will say that, but it's not anywhere close. And when we talk to saturation, they're at like 1-2% in saturation for online. There's just not that many people have internet access. And it was the interesting aspect of how do you market to the guests? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of down there, you know, not everybody had a phone. So, you know, how do we talk to these folks? Mainly it's through the mall. Now, as you know, and progress, yeah, some people did have phones, but they didn't have all the smartphones. And I think they're going to progressively keep getting more and more smartphones. So that would be the way to touch the guests down there. But it's not like they're having, like we're talking on a computer right now. They don't have as many computers. It'll be their phone, and that's how we're going to communicate. Otherwise, you know, if we don't have them on an email list or something else, we've got to do it through the attractions or the mall and what the mall's doing, what special events are going on, how do we get involved in special events. And that's one thing we're really doing well in the area in Colombia, which we're going to take to Peru and Chile, is Colombia has focused a lot on these special events, not just holidays, but, you know, anything they could put on in the middle of the park. But also having their name tagged to it so that they know, I got to go to the park. It might be on the top of the mall. So a little different, you know, in the aspects to it. But with it, we find because you're in malls, this is the part thing. You can't really do too much food and beverage in these parks. That's where there's opportunity for sure. They're there. It's impulse buy. So you're really going after smaller things, you know, some sodas, some churros, different things like that, that a bit more like the FEC community in the United States, but you're not going to be able to really expand in a food and beverage area like we're trying to do with Boomers Parks. So that's where, you know, I see some differences associated.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So we're starting to, I would say, wind this down, coming close to the finish time, but we still have a few minutes left. But I'm wondering if you can talk about the phrase, we unleash fun. And if you could break that down for us, where it came from and the whole, I would say, ideology behind it.
Well, you know, ultimately, what are we doing? You know, if you've gone to an arcade, it's a great place. You go to an amusement park, great place. We have a lot to offer. We have arcades, we have laser tag, we have laser maze, you know, we have go-karts, we have miniature golf. There's so many things to do, but we want to make one for you to feel safe and allow you to go have that fun. You know, that's where I think we're kind of unleashing. We're taking down the wall, so to speak, of all the things we've got with the pandemic and COVID. So, you know, we've made them safe. We've made them clean. You know, we're constantly in the process of upgrading and fixing and things of that nature, but it allows you to feel a little more relaxed to come in and go do what you want to do. A lot of people are uptight because of the pandemic, but I think we've created a park, not just for today, but because of the pandemic, but in the future, that you'll remember that we take care of it better than others. And that you're going to be able to come in and just have your natural fun the way you like to have it. And so that's where it really comes from, is we want to take the weight off your shoulders, so to speak, so you can come in and have a good time. Whether it's a party, a group, you're just coming there for date night, whatever it might be, you still can feel comfortable there, and then you can really have fun based off of it. And that's kind of where it came from, is how do we really unleash this fun? Well, we got to take the things that bother people off. One, clean parks. Two, you're taking care of COVID. Three, you take care of what you're physically doing. Hence the reason why we did a lot of videos on safety and so forth to let people know. But when you take down these barriers, and you have food and beverage and more things we can do here, we can come back at different times. All right, this has got to be my place to hang out then. That's where, you know, to me, at the end of the day, that's where, you know, we unleash fun comes from. So,
yeah, very, very cool. Well, Tim, this has been a fantastic ride of a conversation. So we really do appreciate your time. If people want to know more about yourself or Boomers, where would you send them?
Well, I have two different LinkedIn profiles, and you're welcome to connect with me on LinkedIn. So just type in whether it's Tim Murphy MBA or Tim Murphy CEO, you'll find me. But if you're going to go to my parks, go to Boomers Parks. That's Boomers with an S and Parks with an S.com. You'll find all of our parks there. You can see what all of our attractions are at each of the locations, what's open, what's not open, because obviously because of COVID, there's different things in California you can and can't do. And we'll be reopening our water park in Destin here shortly, but all of our parks should be open by the end of February. We're just starting, you know, coming up to February here. We're in the process of just getting everything going for three of our parks in California, a couple more next week. Then we got President's Day for Sahara Sams. We'll be back to mostly open, and then come March, we'll have the Destin FEC side of it open, and the water park will open in April. So, you know, and Boca is just doing great. Love Boca. If you get a chance, visit Boca. But, you know, come see us at boomersparks.com, see what we've got, check us out, check the food out. We're about to have a new food page. We're doing a lot of ideation and movement and evolution of what we're physically doing. So, you know, we came out with Nashville Hots, Korean barbecue, we're upgrading pizzas. We're doing a lot of fun things besides all the sliders and everything else we're doing. So it's a really great food to take a look at. So go take a look at it on our website or connect with me on LinkedIn. Love to connect. I like to reach out. I like to talk to a lot of park owners, whether you're a park president of Six Flags or Disney or Knox or what have you, or you have a small FEC. Love to chat. You never know where something might go. And by the way, if you're interested in potentially selling, I'm definitely looking.
So. Great message there. And just a note to end on here, a final question for you. When you were 8 years old and working for your family's business and that FEC, what lessons do you look back on that you learned back then that you are still feeling today, living, breathing today, and have really guided a lot of your leadership philosophy?
Sure. Grew up and just kind of put where that FEC was placed. So it's really close to Maury's Pier, Wildwood, Cape May area, New Jersey. So I was internally from that area. When the people would go to the beach during the day, they would come back to the campgrounds at night. And so we had what was called the Spirit of 76 in Irma, New Jersey, which was right outside of Cape May and Wildwood, the bridges going over to the islands. And I take the experience of my dad was an entrepreneur. He wanted to serve the guests because he saw there was a need that was there to have a good time even after hours coming off the beach. Now they could go to the boardwalks, Maury's Pier, the 5 mile boardwalk, what have you in Wildwood, or they might go to Cape May. But during the night, they either went to that boardwalk or they did nothing else. So if they came back to the campground, what can I do to have a good time with them? And literally my grandfather built every attraction in the miniature golf course, the paddle wheels, the lighthouses, everything. He was a really good carpenter. But I think it came out from what do we serve our guests? What can we do to give to them? My dad was always trying new products. I guess I take a lot of the lessons from that is keep trying. You know, change if you need to, but keep trying. Keep trying to put something else out there. They'll come, and they did. And during every summer from May to, you know, Labor Day, they were jammed every night. And a lot of times I'd work there. So it was interesting because my mom kind of ran the miniature golf arcade Spirit of 76. And right next to it, we had a lot of acreage, but we had a fence company. So either I was working during the day building fences and a lot of times around the pier on Maury's Pier, because my dad knew the Maury brothers pretty well way back when. Mm-hmm. We were either doing that or I was physically, you know, working in the miniature golf in the arcade. But what I did like, and I took to Disney, is I liked having the keys to all the arcades, and I would rack up all the games on all the games, and I would sit there for hours in the morning before we opened. Guess what? When I fast forward working for Disney for a period, when I would empty all of the arcades at Disney, I would so fast at it, I would go back and play the games because I knew how to rack the games up from that experience. Yeah. So. And to this day, I don't do that. But I have the keys if I want to go play the arcade games.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You still like to have all the keys, it sounds like, which is awesome. In many iterations, you know, however you want to.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, Tim, this has been a great conversation. And Josh, I'm glad you asked that last question, because it does sound like it's kind of come full circle from what you described in those early days to what you get to do now. So thank you again, Tim, for your time today. And for everybody out there watching and listening, just remember, we are all attraction pros.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Attraction Pros podcast.
Make sure to subscribe so you can tune in when new episodes release. And even better, please leave us a review on iTunes.
For more information, visit attractionpros.com.